Right, ladies, and are there any gentlemen here?
Yay!
Woo! Welcome. This is a live recording of the Outspoken Beauty podcast, and I've got one guest who I've had on before, the lovely Jules Van Hepp.
Hello, greetings.
Jules, introduce yourself.
So I am Jules Van Hepp. I am a celebrity spray tanner. What is that? That is a job. But I also founded a beauty brand, Isle of Paradise. I have a podcast called Jules and Sarah, which is comedy. Yes, I am funny. And also a body confidence and mental health podcast called Wobble.
And the lovely Anita.
So my name's Anita Bagwanders, and I have been a beauty journalist for 10 years. I've worked at Stylist magazine, Marie Claire, Women's Health, write for The Guardian. I guess I'm all about sort of empowering beauty and beauty that really serves women.
Can I just say, so like as we're sitting here, suddenly the background, there is the stars. It's got
I love it.
I'm quite into it.
We're
fully into this. Yeah. This is our vibe.
This is my Anita's vibe.
Now, just to put this podcast in context, I mean, this is an important one because we're like in front of the beauty industry. So you guys have to be good. Okay, this is really important.
I'm never good. I'm never well behaved.
You have to
behave. I never say anything properly.
Yeah, I'm always really rogue as well.
Oh no, this is going to be awful.
Together.
But what? Because we've all been in beauty in different ways. So I've been a radio presenter for so long, but also always done beauty writing and been really passionate about it. We've all had really different experiences of beauty. And one thing for me that really interests me is our relationship with beauty products, like the memories they bring back. For me, a product is so much more than just something you bring home and use. You know, it's not like Dettol, which is, you know, just a bit boring. Unless you're Mrs. Hinch, who suddenly made Dettol really sexy.
Yes.
But for me, a beauty product's got memories and it's got sentimentality, and it's that thing that makes me want to pick up the phone and tell my friends about it. It's something really emotional. So I thought we'd discuss the beauty products and experiences that have affected us on an emotional level. Is that quite deep?
No, I think it's not deep enough.
Well, how much deeper do you want to go, Jules?
Be deep, let's go.
So, and this can be good and bad, by the way. It can be beauty products that have, like, bring back really bad memories, like one that your boyfriend wore or something like that. But I just think, let's just talk about beauty products. Jules, start.
I think, for me, and, like, it's lovely being in a room full of people who love beauty, because everyone, I'm sure now, you've gone, oh, what products have I got? What's in my brain? I think there's always the first product that got you into beauty or started the passion. For me, it was Aveda's exfoliating shampoo. I was at uni and I remember, like, I was studying fashion, had never really, like, considered beauty as even an industry. And my mum gave me this exfoliating shampoo. Sheila is well bougie. And she was like, you'll love it, try it. And I remember standing in my, like, crappy shower and washing my hair and feet and, like, being taken on this whole sensorial journey that Aveda had provided. And then, like, afterwards, I remember all the little exfoliating bits in my hair and being like, oh no, I changed this about this product. And that for me was like the first, like, it was the wet the whistle of
really?
The beauty industry. Yeah, it was a shampoo.
How about you, Anita?
So one product that I'm really quite emotionally attached to is MAC's blot powder. So it's one of those MAC staples that they have done since the dawn of time. You use it on photo shoots and stuff like that because it's super fine, unlike regular powders. It's almost like a very fine dusting that just kind of like gets rid of any shine if you want to get rid of it. And the reason I'm so attached to it is because when I was younger, I had it's still quite oily now, but I had super, super oily skin. I didn't know how to control it. I grew up in Newport in South Wales, where there was basically one shop that you could get makeup from, and that was Boots.
Boots. Oh, it was Boots.
It was Boots. That's all we had in our little town. And growing up in the 80s and 90s, there were no products, particularly in South Wales, for women of colour. And I used to try and find products, and I used to really hunt for a powder that would suit me, and there was literally nothing at all. I think the darker shade was probably like a digestive biscuit colour. I always use biscuits to talk about colours of foundations and powders. And I just didn't have anything. And I was at that period when you're sort of like 12 and 13, it really affects you emotionally looking at everyone else with their lovely, you know, beautiful skin. You've got this really oily skin. And I used to really struggle to find things. And the one powder I did find that was probably like a three shades too light for me was one by the Body Shop, but it was really thick and heavy. And when I put it on, it used to mix in with the oils on my face, and like at the end of the day I would just look awful. But then as I grew up and Mac ended up coming into Cardiff, our nearest city, and I found this block powder and it completely changed my life. Number one, because I realised that actually some brands do care about women of colour, and that's great. And it just opened up this whole new world to me, where I realised that I actually did really matter and that I should be catered to. And that, for me, was a real transitional moment that has been a driving force through my career.
Really? How has that affected your career? Because I think as stylists, like speaking to the editor of Stylist, she said that when you came in, you did very different things with beauty to what anyone had done for any other magazines. Because you brought kind of open-mindedness and you talked about subjects people maybe were scared to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's the point of beauty. I think for me as a beauty editor and a beauty journalist, I use beauty as a way to look, beauty as a lens to kind of look at loads of topics. That, you know, people should be talking about, whether it's race or whether it's gender or whether it's, you know, whatever it is. I think beauty is a really interesting lens that we all can really relate to and all have experiences of that we can use to change the world. And I do truly believe in that.
I liked your one about women in prison and how they rely on. That was amazing. Yeah. That's how I first kind of met you.
Yeah.
Okay, for me, I was a very, very hairy girl, okay? Very, very polycystic ovaries, incredibly
same.
Hairy. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, awful. Anyone else? Don't have to admit it. And I'll never forget, I was fairly young, and I know that my mum had been waiting for me to have my first leg wax, because she knew that when you had a wax, the hair would eventually get thinner, and I wouldn't be hairy, hairy, hairy. But my best friend got in there first with an orange Bic razor. And she came around, she was like, Nicola, you're really hairy, okay, we need to sort you out. And I remember we closed ourselves in my upstairs bathroom, my mum was downstairs, she didn't know, and we shaved my legs. We did quite well, there were no nicks, but that was the beginning of shaving. And I just got hairier and hairier and hairier, and my mum cried. And then but I remember, and that was the start for me of years of insecurity, again, about hair, but I remember this Bic razor was the start of the realisation that I needed to get rid of it. I'd never, you know, when you're young, you don't think you need to get rid of your hair. So it was kind of, that led to laser treatment and all sorts. But yeah, that orange Bic razor stands out in my memory. One more thing that does as well, though, is my mum's Clarins hand cream. And it's the smell. She always had this tube of Clarins hand cream in her handbag, and her hands always smelt of it. And when I always carry it now, because it's my mum in a bottle. It's comfort. Do you get that? Have you got any like memory beauty products?
Yeah, but not in a good way, doll.
Tell me.
Dupe fragrance for me. The first boy I snogged wore Dupe, and at the time I was like, he is perfect. This is great. He wears Dupe. And then I remember buying Dupe from Boots, because it's always on offer. And like, I got it. And now, even like when I'm on the street, if someone walks past me with Dupe on, I cannot stand it. I'm like, I'm there with that boy who broke my heart. And I'm just like, oh, it's awful. Like, I think fragrance definitely and smell is such a trigger. And it can either take you in like the good direction or the bad direction.
I think it's the biggest trigger of all, because they say smell's the last sense to go. It smells incredibly powerful. Have you got any perfumes or anything that remind you of stages of your life?
I don't know if I've got any specific perfumes, actually, but there is a smell of something that really reminds me of my mother, and it's actually the smell of a makeup product.
Which I bet, I'm going to guess, just tell me and I'll...
So it's the smell of Bourjois blushes.
I knew it, I was
really
going to say that. Yeah, they
It's just
smell.
The smell, and the colours actually don't... colours don't really suit me. I think they definitely need to expand their ranges a little bit more. They don't suit women of colour, they don't go dark enough. But I still to this day use a Bourjois blush, just because the smell of it reminds me of my mum. And as I said, back in the 80s and 90s, you just had to deal with what you could get. And she always used to use this Bourjois blush in a colour that was too pale for her as well. So I've carried that on. And I just love the smell of it, because it reminds me of her doing it, and that sort of self-care.
It's funny, isn't it? And it's also, I think mothers, I don't know if the audience feel this as well, did your mum have a big influence on your beauty journey? Just kind of say I. Yeah, a lot of people agreeing. It was watching your mum being very glamorous, doing her lipstick or not. You know, some mums never wore makeup, and a lot of people then think we don't need to wear makeup. My mum was this very glamorous 80s power woman. She's like the businesswoman, the suits, and you know, the red lipstick and the amazing hair, and the perfumes were so strong. Almost like Safari, Paloma Picasso, all those. And when she wasn't in, I'd like squirt myself. And I'd go out and I'd be like, I'm so sexy. And I think the boys were like, who is this girl? She smells of an old woman. So I think that happened a lot. Any other products that now that you use and just fill you with happiness?
So when you develop your own brand, that is such like a triggering thing, because you are essentially bottling a whole career into a product, and then you know that that product could then trigger somebody else. So tan for me is such an emotional thing because I don't feel like myself unless I'm wearing tan, and I know that my clients don't feel like themselves unless they're wearing tan. And when you link back to fragrance, when we were picking the fragrance for Isle of Paradise, peppermint and eucalyptus is really refreshing, and that's the first thing that people comment on when they have a tan with me or when they try it, is, oh my God, this doesn't smell like tan. And it's using fragrance in a way that is changing the way that people perceive tan and perceive that kind of connection with it. And tan is a second skin. It makes you feel more confident. So it's something that on our Instagram and on my Instagram, we really focus in on is, this is not just a beauty product. This is like a sheet of armor that's going to go on and you are going to kill it today wearing this. And I think that's why I love beauty so much, because like so many people, like my dad always calls it lotions and potions, and he thinks it's nonsense. But from the flip, I always call them like jars of hope. And they're bottles of hope, and they give you confidence, they make you feel better. And I think that moment when you look in the mirror, whether it's a smell, whether it's tan, whether it's makeup, if you feel amazing because a beauty product has taken you to that place, then it's 100% worth getting into. I don't know if I've answered your question.
I just liked kind of went off on a rant.
I was like, I'm going for it, women.
No, but I get
me, George.
Yeah. But no, that's interesting, yeah. Because that's a really interesting thing. Like you are your beauty brand, so you are your tan, and I know you, that you, everything you are is in the way that you put that product across, like giving women hope, making women feel good about themselves. So I know, I like that. We're coming to the end, by the way. This is only a mini podcast. I don't want to, because normally we go on for nearly an hour. I think that's a bit long. But Anita, is there a product now that you just couldn't live without, something you absolutely love?
I do have one, and it's quite an interesting one, actually, that I've rediscovered. So, as I said, I grew up in South Wales, and I was one of the very few Asian people that I knew. I pretty much just knew myself, my parents, that was it. That was it. And I spent a lot of my teenage years trying not to be Indian, basically, trying to just fit in with everyone else around me. And part of that meant rejecting Indian things. And one of the Indian things I rejected was hair oil. So I don't know if anyone else has experience of this, but there's this Indian hair oil that my parents might used to put on me to kind of nourish my hair. And when you go to India, you see women with it in. So it's this jasmine oil. Mm. It's really beautiful. It smells incredible, I now realise. But for years, I was just like, oh, I don't want this horrible greasy stuff in my hair. And I just really rejected it. But then a few weeks ago, when I was doing my Morrison shop, I saw this Dabba Amla hair oil. And I was like, OK, I'm going to get some of that. And I've been using it for the last few weeks, and it's really changed my hair. And I am going to just get it every time now.
So you've embraced it again.
Yeah, and the smell is amazing. And yes, I think it's a metaphor for reclaiming
who
I am, actually.
That's so lovely. Yeah.
And it's like...
You're going to cry.
No, but I am. I do feel warm for you.
But that's amazing. And it is, because sometimes it's a symbol, because you've had a new start, you've left like a really big job, and like maybe, products can actually be like a rebirth in a weird sort of way.
Entirely,
So anyone who says beauty shallow is wrong.
They are wrong.
So wrong.
Totally wrong. It means a lot. This mini podcast has to end, but thank you so, so much for joining me. If you want to continue the conversation, our Instagram is @outspokenbeautynicola, and we can, tell us in your beauty products that have changed your life. Thank you. Thank you very much.